from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right. Hello, everyone. Chris Mueller sitting across from me. Great to have him back. And Donnie Football here as well, after he had a memorable weekend, including a sold-out Creed show Saturday night. Malzy, sometimes in this business, we get accused of trafficking in hyperbole. We make mountains out of molehills. We say things. We exaggerate. We make things bigger than they really are. We go over the top. Last week, and I think rightfully, we said O'Neal Cruz in Houston, that three-error game, the worst defensive game we've ever seen anybody have. His blunders in the field cost the Pirates that game, and they didn't get a sweep of the Astros because of the brain farts from him at shortstop. I was one of the 32,000 people at the game yesterday. So you don't have Twitter all the time. You don't have the broadcasters in your head. You're just watching it unfold as it happens. I think that's the worst managed game I've seen. That's the worst in person. That is the worst managed baseball game, given the stakes, given what's on the line. That's the worst managed, quote unquote, big game I've ever seen in person. Would you like to offer up a rebuttal? Was it different watching on TV, Donnie? I don't know if you listened on radio. He, 6 ways to Sunday, Derek Shelton screwed up that game, and they lose that series, I think, because of the manager.
What's my favorite phrase when somebody does a bad job that you love to repeat? He didn't bathe himself in glory yesterday, did he?
Oh, that bathtub did not have glory.
It was not filled with glory.
In there.
No, it was filled with shame.
Is it his fault?
Yes. Okay, so I think it's easier to frame it this way. I put a poll question up. I said, who's more at fault for that game yesterday? Is it Holderman or is it Shelton? And I think it's Shelton is winning the vote, albeit narrowly. I think it is Derek Shelton for this reason. I had to suss out my own feelings, and here they are. Colin Holderman's been dog crap for a while now. He has been pretty bad since the beginning of July. He had a nice run of scoreless appearances, but he has now given up a run in 4 straight games. He had given up a run in 3 straight games until yesterday. The only thing that really separates, I think, good managers from bad managers is handling of the pitching staff. There are little in-game moves you can still make.
Jim Leland told us that. He thought 90% of managing was how you handle a pitching staff. I'll trust a Hall of Fame manager.
Right.
Exactly.
There aren't like really your double switches. The strategy of baseball is a little bit on the wane because of the universal DH. That's all fine. So basically, learn how to handle your pitching staff. And if you're a guy like Derek Shelton, I could throw in, learn how to handle your hitters and step in a little bit more and be proactive. But that's neither here nor there. He didn't handle his pitching staff well. You can make the argument, as he did there, in what I heard, the most defensive Derek Shelton I have ever heard on the job, Which always makes me wonder, is that a tell that you know you screwed up deep down?
Want my answer on that? Yes, he was telling on himself yesterday.
He rips Colin Holderman, right, and says he's got to be better. And it wasn't as quality of a pitch as I thought Bell hit out off of Chapman, where that ball was 103. It was 100 on the outer corner, but you can see a guy like Peterson, a big dude, riding that pitch out the left center if he gets it right, which he did. Derek Shelton has watched Colin Holderman suck. Don't put him in that spot. Don't say your guy who hasn't been very good needs to be better. Don't put him in a position. Would you rather have Jock Peterson, a guy you know hits the ball out of the ballpark, and I understand that that's a very good offense, that's a very good baseball team over there.
Most runs in the National League. They are prolific.
They are really good.
Yep.
They are really good. I would rather have Beeks against Gurriel or Randall Grichuk.
Of course.
I would. It's an obvious matchup to me, not just because of Jock Peterson's out of the game, one of those guys is in.
Yeah.
Holderman's been that bad. And that's what makes me so mad.
He should have never been in the game in the first place. They're off today.
Well, you know what? They're obsessed, though, I think, with trying to pitch him, you know, give him, like, shows of confidence so that he can get his form back. Stop. I know the Cruz game was ugly, right? And it was Cruz's fault that he even put Holderman in a situation where he could blow the lead. But ultimately, if Colin Holderman's the Colin Holderman Derek Shelton thinks he is, they win that game.
You have to evolve. You have to adapt, okay? You have to change
your Diamondbacks just did that. Their closer lost his job
because
he wasn't good enough.
And they went by a committee approach and played the matchups late in the game, and they ended up winning. So kudos to them and their manager for actually pushing
the right buttons. Here's something else, because I don't think that this is really going to be what we're talking about at length today. I know it's Derek Shelton, and was it a poorly managed game? It was. And I know most of that's about Holderman. I will say, there were people saying, well, if Kiner Falefa gets the bunt down, they tie the game. I don't even like playing for the tie, which is what Shelton said he was doing there. Here's why. You are Derek Shelton. In Arizona, you watched this team, the Diamondbacks, show you how good they were offensively. You got a big lead in the one extra inning game you played there, only to have them, thanks to Colin Holderman, almost get it all back from you. I want to play for... I know that the conventional wisdom before the softball rules extra innings was that you play for the tie at home in the ninth and try to win it later. Not anymore. Not with the Diamondbacks on the other side.
Well, I think reasonable baseball minds can disagree on that.
Fine, but I think that's another misstep.
So do I. For the record, I would not have bunted. Kiner Falefa had a double and a triple in the game. By OPS, he's almost a 300 hitter. He comes up first and second. If he does execute the bunt well, okay. Are you even convinced that the Diamondbacks pitch to Reynolds?
No.
I think they load the bases.
If they do
and set up a force at home plate or a double play, however they want to play it, if they do that, and the game continues on, Cruz strikes out, De La Cruz flies out, they win. So I'm not convinced they pitch to Reynolds in that situation. My thing is, he managed the game. Your point about how they're trying to get Holderman back to where he was, it's not April 5th. It's August 5th. I looked at this series like it was a quasi-de facto playoff series. You're 2.5 out. If you sweep them, you move ahead of them in the standings. If you sweep them, you get the tiebreaker over them. Mm-hmm. All right, you lose on Friday. I jinx it. I say they're going to sweep the series. They have the worst start to a game in Major League Baseball history. I apologize for that. You come back in that game, you take a lead, you lose. That sucks, but you still had a chance yesterday to win the series and keep the ball moving. Keep the momentum going.
Keep winning series,
right,
and you're going to find yourself in a playoff position
and
sooner rather than later.
You're
bottom
trying
line.
To get Colin Holderman right? I managed that game with an off day today.
Like, it's the seventh game of the World Series.
Yes.
Because you have the luxury of being able to do so.
I don't, like, necessarily bring in my starting pitchers to get outs. But yes.
People know what we're saying.
Jalen Beeks.
You're on call.
He ended up pitching in the game anyways. He was warming up to face Peterson. Never came in. Lefties are batting 183 against him. Why else did Ben Cherington rent him than to not run him until his wheels fall off here over the next 2 months to win these games? I've never seen anything like that where a manager, he did that early in the season with guys like Bednar in March and April. Okay, you've got 150 games ahead of you. You really need to win this game. You're now 3.5 games behind this team, and you're not going to see them again the rest of the
way. Tiebreaker's a nightmare. They're pulling away from you. You know what they are? They're 35-20 since the break. The Pirates are 30-24. I would say if Shelton had managed better and the Pirates had handled it a little better, they'd probably be even records right now.
If it was a playoff game, are you telling me that Holderman starts the seventh inning? I don't care that they pitch Chapman Friday and Saturday. If that's a best of three, game three, got to win it. Beek starts the seventh against lefties. Chapman pitches the eighth and Bednar pitches the ninth, right? Don't you just do it that way?
You would hope, but he is just... Man, dead set on, well, this guy throws 100 and throws a sweeper. Well, he's a human kerosene can right now. I have to get this thought off my chest, too. Like, watching these two series with the Diamondbacks drove home something to me. I think the Pirates showed some guts Friday. You know, I wish they were better offensively. I think what you see in this series is the difference between the Diamondbacks are a very good team right now, good to very good, with a very good manager. I think Lovello is terrific. And I'm not saying that just because he did a wonderful interview on this station before the All-Star game, although that doesn't hurt. And then that's the difference, what you saw there versus the Pirates, who I think are a team that has some very good parts, Pony, but is by no means a good or very good team. And I think their manager's part of that problem. He got outmanaged, and as a result,
severely,
they got outplayed.
Severely outmanaged.
He's handed multiple games away, I think.
I mean, there are even, I think, gross mistakes by him that get swept under the rug because of how bad the Holderman thing was. You're up 4-0 in the second inning. Kiner Falefa triples. You have Reynolds on first, but you have first and third with one out.
Mm-hmm.
If Reynolds takes off for second on the first pitch, they're not throwing down there. They're just not. They don't want to go down 5-0. They don't want to have a situation where he goes second and guy and Kiner Falefa with his speed comes home and steals home plate there. They're going to concede second base to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then what does Cruz do? Hit into a double play, inning over. You left the door open for them. It's 4-0 instead of 5-0 or worse. Woodford Reserve, God bless him, against the Astros on Monday. Or not Monday, when he pitched in the Cruz game.
You got a day off, you pitch Bednar there and try to keep it a one-run game. That's what I do.
Why is he coming out for a second inning? He was in AAA, or he was like basically sent to the island of misfit toys.
I'm trying to keep it a one-run game. I don't care that he said he wanted to keep it for Bednar, try to play for the tie, and then put Bednar in. I'm trying to keep it a one-run game on the off chance my team does exactly what they ended up doing, which is scoring a run. And who knows? I don't think the Diamondbacks play a two-run differently, any appreciably differently than a one-run lead. So I think they're trying to play the same way. You can presume the same thing would happen. I don't know, man. I came out of this very demoralized because of the way he managed.
And from 2020 to 2023, Derek Shelton got a free pass for the most part because we knew the deck of cards and the hand he had been dealt here. He was not set up to have great success. His teams, according to oddsmakers, were ticketed for 100 lost seasons or very close each of those years. This team is better. They added at the deadline. You've got Paul Skeens on the mound and a 4-0 lead.
You've got to have a plan for if a good offensive team forces him out of the game early, which Arizona is, and they did, and they worked him over. Like, you know, not that they got a ton off of him, but they got him out of the game. You've got to have a set plan. You've got to have a mindset that you are going to treat this like, well, we've got a day off. Everyone can rest and recover. We've got to win this game.
Yeah, and you tell your team that, look, the weather on Saturday screwed everything up because Keller couldn't go deep in the game. So the bullpen got taxed
I need you to give me a little bit more. You've got a day off coming. Hit the trainer's table. We'll all get better, but we need this game.
Donnie, are we going too hard on this guy? I mean, just one of the worst managed games. And I was there and I was sober. I was one of the worst managed games I've ever seen in person in my entire life.
I thought yesterday was a good showing of a manager who has managed in big games before, really big games, the biggest of games,
and
the World Series last year. I know they didn't win the World Series, but they got there. And they beat some really good teams on the way there. I mean, he was like Cool Hand Luke. In that game yesterday, and you know his team's down 4-0 against Paul Skeens. That looks like a death sentence to most people. They just kind of played it cool. He pushed all the right buttons down the stretch. He managed it like it was a meaningful game, and it seemed like Derek Shelton managed it more like
he thought it was in the bag.
Well, that, but also like one of those early season games where you think, I don't want to get this out there for 3 days. Are you kidding me?
He got stubborn with Holderman, too. He got very stubborn. He obviously wants Colin Holderman to be back to Colin Holderman form. How does showing faith in a guy like that help him when after the game you just say he's got to be better, he wasn't good? What does that do for psyche, for anything else? If you're trotting him out there to show confidence in him, then you crap all over him when he blows the game for you. What does that do for you?
Can I tell you what I would have done if I were him? I would have never gotten Beeks up to warm up and come in the game. I would have never used him. Because at least in that situation, if Beeks never pitches and a lefty never gets used in the game, he has plausible deniability like... My bosses won't let me use him.
Clearly he was considering it, and he didn't do it.
They tell me what I can and can't do. They tell me when pitchers are available and not. I wasn't allowed to use my lefties today. That's why we lost. At that point, you can rip the whole operation and the philosophy of things. But when you get the guy up and he's ready, and then he pitches the next inning.
Well, let alone that, Chapman was also warming up.
Right.
He just didn't happen to come in. He was warming up.
Chapman and Bednar warmed up.
Does Chapman have anything, Pony, that you're aware of where he doesn't like coming into the middle of innings? Like, he wouldn't have wanted to come in there and turn around Peterson and then have to have Gurriel?
No, I mean, I think, like everybody, he prefers a clean slate. But my God, this, like I said, is a playoff quasi type of game.
You're throwing a guy out there in, at that point, the biggest at-bat of the game. The at-bat that loses you the game in the end, and you're throwing maybe right now your work.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
First reliever.
Play for the tie and then get Bednar in the game and see where we could go there. You know, I mean, he's a tough at bat, so I think that was... And he's usually, you know, he's done a pretty good job bunting throughout his career. And it was a tough pitch.
Fan Outline presented by Sullivan Super Service. I mean, even just the bunt decision in its own right is a great sports talk radio topic, because I actually think that's one where we get 100 baseball fans in a room and say, if you like the bunt, go to the left. If you didn't like the bunt, go to the right. We might have 50 people on one side and 50 on the other. I mean, I think that's a real among fans right split down the line debate.
Mm-hmm.
I think with Shelton and the way that game went yesterday, it's just varying degrees of how pissed off you are at him.
I just don't like the fact too that after making the decisions he made, I think one of the things about him is I'm Mr. Good Vibes almost all the time. I really don't get on my players publicly. Then suddenly it was about Colin Holderman. Here, wait, stand right there. I'm going to run this bus over you. Come on. You said it best. He told on himself. He knows that he did not handle that game well. He knows that his decision-making probably cost them a win, or at bare minimum, he didn't put best practices on display there, and he was pissed about it.
And he scapegoated a struggling reliever
He also never does this, in my experience. He was snapping at reporters, too.
Oh, big time.
There was a lot of testy exchanges there.
Let's get your thoughts, starting with Joe in Brookline. Hello, Joe.
Hey, boys. What's up?
Hey, man.
Two things. I'm disgusted at just that whole weekend, but yesterday was throw the analytics out the window. we got to stop thinking guys can only go two thirds of an inning and then they're done. Or this guy, they get this guy up. Oh, he's not ready. Or we're trying to get this guy fixed. This is a playoff race. You need every game you can get. And the other thing I noticed about Shelton yesterday, he has absolutely no experience sitting next to him. Rebello, he has people next to him in his ear that are very experienced.
You mean Lovello, like, not Rebello. Lovello,
I'm sorry. Like Lovello, he has so much a lot more experience. Like
Lovello has experience himself, though. That's the thing, though, Joe. Like Donnie said this, Lovello's got his own experience. He was near the top of the mountain. He was in the World Series. He had to go through the Dodgers to do it. Like, he beat good teams. That's experience on the job.
That's a fair point by Joe. I'm just not giving Shelton that out. You're managing along with the game like I was at the game, or you're watching it, and you're making better decisions than him. You don't need friggin' Don Zimmer sitting next to you, or Joe Torre, or Chuck Tanner, or just name a guy that knows baseball. You have two lefties. One we know was available because he got used the next inning, and he warmed up in the seventh. You acquired him to get lefties out. Your GM said as much. You said as much. The entire Diamondbacks lineup is switch hitters and lefties. Use him.
Here's something.
And if it means that Arizona gets, okay, we're going to try to win the game here, so we're going to make a bold move and pinch hit for our lefties with inferior right-handed hitters.
Good.
That is a good thing.
Do you know what I saw people saying just on that track, Pony, real quick about the hypothetical if O'Neill Cruz comes up, would they have considered pinch hitting Ke'Bryan Hayes, a much better hitter against a lefty, than letting Cruz go lefty on lefty? Force them into that kind of decision. Here's one other thing. Jim Leland, we cite Jim on this show now a lot because we've been fortunate enough to have him on. He said, good manager basically is a guy who figures out how to use his bullpen. Every time I've asked Jim about, like, hey, you know, what did you learn on the job in the major leagues or stylistically, how'd you adjust? What has he always told us?
Minor league manager.
I had a decade plus of minor league experience. I felt like I was who I was as a manager. How many games do you think Derek Shelton managed as a manager in the minor leagues his whole career? On Baseball Reference, he shows up as a guy who managed.
Was he in single A?
He was in rookie ball for the Yankees for 2 years. For a total of 120 games, and then he was in low A ball for Staten Island for 75.
I knew that.
That's not even 200 games of minor league managerial experience.
Here's AJ on the fan. Hello, AJ.
Hey, how you doing today?
Hey, man.
So I guess something that I really believe about baseball is that players win games and managers lose them.
Okay.
And so, I mean, Derek Shelton makes bad in-game decisions. We know that. But for him to criticize Holderman, last time I checked, Holderman didn't put himself in the game.
Correct. I thought that was low rent because I thought it, and AJ, I thought it didn't match up. You're putting him in the game to try to, in a sense, get his confidence back. I'm shoving you out there because I believe in you. The minute it goes haywire and blows up in your face, he's got to be better. That's talking across purposes. That's going against what you originally did decision-wise by deciding you're going to tell the guy publicly he didn't do a good enough job. Baseball is, at core, a numbers game. And I think most people can at least live with the idea that by the numbers, or even by common sense sometimes, their manager made the right move. If he puts in a lefty pitcher there, if he puts in Beeks, and an inferior right-handed hitter comes in and still hits a three-run bomb, at bare minimum, I at least say he did the thing that made
right,
the most sense.
Because you don't want the guy right now who's going the worst in your bullpen to face one of the hottest hitters in baseball.
In the set, and really, outside of Ketel Marte, probably the second-best healthy hitter on their team because Walker's right now hurt.
Yeah.
The one, like, if you're going to list, who do you want not want to beat you on the Diamondbacks
Marte,
yesterday?
Marte Peterson
in that order.
412-928-9370.
God,
I know, Chris.
I love baseball because when your team is at least in it nominally, it's fun day to day. I hate baseball because when your team is in it nominally and doing stuff like this, it pisses you off to a degree that's incalculable.
Well.
It's time for another chapter in the PM Team's Camp Chronicles.
Our training camp coverage is presented by Smale Kia, brought to you by Guardian Caps and Armstrong Business Solutions. Just finishing up the biggest weekend of training camp 2024. because you get the big night practice on Friday with a lot of hitting and a lot of real football. No pad Saturday, practice again yesterday. So three practices to look back on with a man who was there. KDK TV's Richie Walsh joining us right now. Hello, Richie.
What's up, Pony? How you doing?
Malsy's
every
here
time
too.
I come on with you guys, the Schultz Ford commercial is always on before. Now it's in my head, and I'm going to be repeating it all day.
Do you like our Camp Chronicles music? Could you hear that, Richie?
Well, I love it. Yeah, it seems like I'm at Disney World, like when you're getting ready to walk into one, like one of those rides.
It's a wonderful life when you're on with Camp Chronicles for us, Richie. That's how we feel.
All right, Richie, is the hype real with Justin Fields from this weekend? You tell us.
You know, I think it's real with the fans. I don't know about so much with maybe the people covering the team. I know I'm there. I'm impressed by some of the things that he's done so far. He's definitely electric, but he's also made some mistakes. And I think we get caught up in seeing all the good plays on Twitter or X or Facebook, and the fans see the good plays, but they don't see what he has done also, where he's made some mistakes and missed some short passes. I mean, he's really good down the field, and he's awesome getting out of the pocket and running. Definitely threats, but I still don't think that it's a real competition for the starting quarterback for the Steelers. One thing that I'm scratching my head, and I know Chris and I talked a little bit about this last night on the showdown, is, you know, we talked to Russell Wilson after he injured his calf pushing a sled, and I don't know why he was pushing a sled, but anyways, he's pushing a sled, he gets injured, but then the next day he came out and said that basically if it was a regular season, he'd be able to play, and they've kind of sat him for these first 2 weeks. Now he's progressively done more and did some 11-on-11 stuff, but he hasn't really been out there, and that's what has me scratching my head. Why isn't he out there running with the team if he basically said that it was day-to-day that he was healthy enough if it was a regular season?
Well, here's the hypothesis, Richie, and I'll credit everybody that was involved on the showdown yesterday. We all were kicking this around. Do you think the Steelers, because they don't have a contract for either guy for next year, wanted to take an extended look at Justin Fields right now and think about maybe trying to get something done based on how he looked for 2 weeks as the number one starter?
Well, I know there was talk of trying to get a deal with him at some point. I mean, they weren't going to pick up his $25 million option. And no question, I'm buying into that theory. You're getting a really good look at what he's doing here. And for Russell Wilson, you don't necessarily need him in this part of camp, right? He's been there through OTAs. He's a veteran. He knows this offense. He's your starter. So I can see where this hypothesis,
Does he know the offense, Richie? Because
He says he does.
Yeah, but it's his first year in it. It's his first year in it. He's never actually run it in games. Like, I have to at least, you know, cast a little bit of doubt on the idea that he knows it just because he's never actually run it when the real action's happening.
Well, here's what I would say to that is he's a veteran. I mean, he's been around. He's been in multiple different offenses. And I would trust that he knows this type of offense. I guess the schemes are basically the same. The language might be a little bit different, but I mean, it's not like anything he hasn't run before. Maybe, you know, new personnel is, you can kind of throw that into the mix. He's got to get used to these guys, and this is where that's a benefit now, working with these guys. But I know he had a lot of these guys, to Florida or out to California, and he worked a lot with everyone during OTAs, and they almost had basically 100% participation in that. So I feel like in multiple times, you know, I know he likes to talk, Russell Wilson, but multiple times he said when asked the question, he feels comfortable.
Richie, how about George Pickens? Did he show this weekend that he is ready to make that jump to elite receiver in the NFL?
I think so, but what worries me about George Pickens, right now they don't have a number two guy. And, you know, I still don't think he's an Antonio Brown elite receiver like that. Yes, he can make some great catches, but I still think he needs someone opposite him to take some of that coverage away. Maybe Pat Freiermuth is the guy that can do that. But I still think he can be an elite receiver. There's no doubt about that in my mind. And I think the Steelers think he can be one too. And I don't think they're going to go out and make, no matter what people are still speculating and saying, I don't think they're going to go out and make some kind of move for
We might have to make a bet on that, Richie. You and I might have to make a bet. And
if, well, I'd
and
be
if you
willing
lose,
to
you'll
bet.
Shave your head.
No, I don't bet shaving my head, but I'll bet you something else. But, yeah, because that could happen. I mean, they could make a trade for a guy or for someone if they don't have to give up a lot. The problem with the Brandon Ayuk thing is they'd have to give up a ton and then pay him, $25 million next year. They're also going to have to pay George Pickens, too.
Oh, there's the music again. Sorry.
Were you playing them off here for
no,
a second?
No, I was not.
Richie, is
I want to go to Disney now every time I hear that music.
Hey, Disney, you want to talk about an expensive vacation. Anyway, is Beanie Bishop going to end up there a week one starter for them as an undrafted rookie free agent? How's he doing?
I mean, it really sounds like it, right? And I did an interview with him right before training camp start. He thought he was glad that, well, you're not glad that you don't get drafted.
He had an opportunity,
though. For him. Yes, and he felt like the Steelers were the best opportunity for him.
And did they make Sutton change positions? Did I see that? Is he playing safety now instead of corner?
Well, they were practicing that safety a little bit. And they've always said, and remember years ago, they were kind of using him in certain spots, and he potentially could have been a safety. I don't mind that happening. I think you're going to see a lot of three safeties out there a lot. I really like Deshaun Elliott and having DeMonte Casey out there. But, I mean, until Sutton can get back from his suspension, the leader in the clubhouse is Beanie Bishop.
We'll get to fan weather in a second. Hey, Richie, thanks so much for jumping on with us, man, and being our guest on Camp Chronicles.
No problem. Anytime. Love it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.